Okay, you're hearing me. Okay. Thank you very much. It comes to no surprise that smaller housing systems face considerable challenges due to their limited profitability and their acute concentration of risk. If there is one property market which can embody the spirit and scale of a small housing system, this must be Malta, the tiny island me and my half a million brothers and sisters dearly call home. Malta's acute land scarcity combined with a spiraling demand for the purchase of properties from investors, whether institutional, retail, local or foreign, has resulted in a hyperinflation of property prices over the course of the past two decades. This period coincided with a revolution in local housing finance, with private commercial banks entering the arena for the first time in Malta's independent history. Prior to the 1990s, the general population depended on various forms of public transfers, subsidies, and schemes to become homeowners, as it was often impossible for the average citizens to raise the necessary capital through other means. This might partly explain why, in the latest EU Silk study, almost 60% of reported homeowners claim that they do not have a mortgage. My generation and the ones that followed had to turn to private commercial banks to finance the acquisition of the residential properties. And we found ourselves in a completely different paradigm from the one experienced by our forefathers. As the private sector became the top dog in the housing finance market, three different groups experienced the darker side of privatization. These being low to middle income earners, persons with disabilities and complex medical histories, and persons over the age of 40 who experienced some form of family breakdown. I shall explain how we addressed the challenges faced by all the three groups one by one. First of all, during my mandate as Housing Secretary, and more recently as Minister, I have witnessed an unprecedented period of full employment and economic growth, during which thousands of Maltese and Gositans were elevated from the brink of poverty to financial stability, with a noticeable increase in their disposable income. Although this in itself is wonderful news, it has also meant that thousands of citizens who were previously eligible for public social housing suddenly found themselves in a no man's land, stuck in the void between the waiting list for subsidized housing and the lofty thresholds of bankability in the local property market. It was high time the government stepped in, and under my watch, we did so, and we did so effectively. Nowadays, low to middle income citizens can count on the Maltese Housing Authority for help, whether they want to access social loans for property purchases, or alternatively, if they need an interest-free loan on the 10% down payment requested by local banks. Thousands of young persons have made it up the property ladder through these two landmarks schemes, whilst the conservative operation approach of local banks was not hampered with in the slightest. The second stumbling block to access the housing finance, which is very particular to Malta, comes in the form of customary banking practice, which makes it mandatory for prospective borrowers to obtain a valid life insurance policy. Life insurance providers in Malta exclude hundreds of persons from obtaining housing financing due to their strict underwriting policies. Persons with disabilities and persons with past experience of life-threatening illnesses are considered high-risk profiles that cannot be insured. Again, we acted out of moral conviction to address this gap, and my ministry has launched the first ever guarantee scheme which shall effectively replace the life insurance policy for this disadvantaged minority. Now, persons with disabilities and survivors of serious illnesses can count on the state to remove any barriers they used to face in housing finance. Last but not least, we could not turn a blind eye to the middle-aged persons who have found themselves in an unexpected housing crisis or in the direct result of marital breakdowns. Unfortunately, local commercial banks are not forthcoming when asked to provide housing finance to persons over the age of 40, despite levels of income which are often above average, or their higher rates of liquidity. we had to find a creative solution to this impasse. And for the first time ever, we introduced the concept of shared ownership in the Maltese housing finance sector. The so-called equity sharing scheme made it possible for these persons to finance the acquisition of their residential properties.
Recording in progress.
To forego their life savings or burden themselves with unsustainable repayments of rent. The government became an equal yet silent partner in the lending process, allowing these mature adults to retain their housing independence. The peace of mind provided to banks has also contributed to the success of the scheme, and hundreds of beneficiaries have been given a new opportunity to fully participate in the
recording stopped,
despite their age and circumstances. Despite the complexities of the subject and the intricate interplay between many technical factors beyond the government's own control, the matter of housing finance must have at its core a simple tenet. Adequate housing must be a universal right, accessible to all, without fear or discrimination or exclusion. Viewing housing as a simple commodity is both harmful and dangerous. And people's habitation should not never be treated as one of many tradable products. There are always ways and means to make housing finance universally accessible without creating perilous distortions in the market. As policymakers, it is up to us to work harder, find them, and implement them as efficiently and expediently as possible. Thank